You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The FDA is about to get a lot more muscle.
More money and more power.
Sweeping new powers.
The most sweeping overhaul of the nation's food safety laws since the 1930s.
Robert Scott Bell.
If you like the efficiency of the post office, the competence of FEMA, and the compassion of the IRS, we will love the nationalized health care bill.
Robert Scott Bell.
The British Medical Journal accused a researcher, Andrew Wakefield, of outright fraud.
People need to look at the details and not look at the headlines.
This is like Salem, the visceral response that they're trying to whip up in the public to try and crush this dissent.
Enough is enough.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Today we answer the question, what is the meaning of life, the order of the universe, and everything? Oh, no small task for the Robert Scott Bell Show. No, not at all. Well, we cranked it up with Advanced Medicine Monday yesterday, so we got to follow up with some things. We got a great, great lineup later on in the show. My dear friend Liam Sheff's coming on. We're going to talk about the electromagnetic universe. What a blast, related to tadpole faces and frog faces. So if somebody calls you a frog face, that might be a compliment based on the things we're going to do today on the show. But first, no more negativity, please. What is it? What is that all about? Well, it turns out if you've had a stroke, being optimistic may reduce your risk of future stroke. Can you imagine? Being a happy, optimistic person might reduce the risk of having a stroke. Now, that could be shocking for somebody who only believes in the chemical reductionist viewpoint of the universe. We're all a bunch of massive glob and mobules and mobules. That's right. Another new word. I usually try to make up 1 to 2 words, sometimes a day, but at least a week, then I'm happy. But mobules of chemicals, right? It's just a mob. We don't know how the universe came together. It's just a random act. We'll have the answer to that a little later. But studies suggest optimism may help lower your chances of having a stroke. This comes off of Web Moment of Duh by Joanna Broder, is the writer here. Yesterday's news, a few days ago it came out. Findings from a new study suggest that being optimistic may reduce your risk of stroke. The observational study conducted by researchers at the University of Michigan is published online in Stroke Journal of the American Heart Association. Now, anybody really surprised by this? That if you have a happy outlook on life, a happy countenance, that you're likely to have less disease in your life? Is that possible? Well, the science now is proving out what we've been saying. Energy matters. We're going to see much more of this coming in the future. It's shocking. It's overturning the old ways. The old order of the universe is crumbling. The new order of the universe is coming about, and it's all energy. So you scientific skeptics out there that are not actually scientific, oh, man, you're not going to be happy, but you might get strokes because of that. So I'm encouraging you to be happy, be positive. People who are optimistic, they say here, expect a favorable outcome. Have you ever heard of this? You get what you expect. Have you ever heard of that? You know, it's interesting because people say, well, no, that positive thinking doesn't work because look at my life. I'm pretty positive and all I get is crap in my life, and never realizing how much negativity and thought forms are pervading and how powerful those thought forms are in creating your reality. Seemingly, it's much easier to create negative because there are strong emotions tied to the negative, like fear. And one of the things that, you know, people talk about the secrets of positive thinking and creating your life, they always talk about it's not just having a positive thought, but it's having a positive emotion aligned with that thought, bound to it, because that, you know, results in a very powerful energetic force that affects molecules, affects matter. Yes, it does. And they say this here, that our work in this study, our work suggests that people who expect the best things in life actively take steps to promote health. That's according to study researcher Eric Kim. She's a doctoral student, or he, I apologize. Last name is a woman's name. It's not necessarily Eric. I've met men named Kim as well, not to get on the name situation here, but Eric Kim, doctoral student in clinical psychology at the University of Michigan. And so their argument here may be, well, hold on there a minute, partner. We don't want you to get too crazy with this energy stuff, Robert. It might just be that if you think positive, you're going to act positive. So it's the actions that are really doing it. Forget that energy, but we still want you to think positive now. Don't get me wrong. But we're not gonna admit that energy might have to have something to do with this. It's just the fact that if you think positive, you do things that are going to help you. Well, how did they conduct this study to check these so-called levels of optimism? Researchers examined self-reported stroke and psychological data collected between 2006 and 2008 from the ongoing Health and Retirement Study, which is a study that surveys over 22,000 Americans from the ages of 50 and over every 2 years. The researchers, evidently, they looked specifically at a subgroup of 6,044 adults, that's over 2,500 men and 3,500 women, who had not had a stroke at the start of the study. Here we go. All right, so now let's measure them for optimism, see how many of them get strokes. And so they measure it using the modified life orientation test, which is a popular assessment tool relying on a 16-point scale. You got to have points, right? 16 points, that's not as low as a soccer match or a hockey game. So where is it somewhere? It's not as high as a basketball game either. Okay, it's a football scale. A 16-point scale. The analysis was then adjusted for self-rated health, relevant socio-demographic, behavioral, biological, and psychological factors, and chronic illness. What did the results show? Well, there were 88 cases of stroke over a 2-year follow-up period. And when they take age, gender, chronic illness, and self-rated health into account, the researchers found that with every point increase toward that 16 number in optimism, there was a 9% decrease in acute stroke risk over the 2-year period. This is a pretty definitive analysis on the power of being positive. It's a good thing. It's good news. It's happy news here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. See, we're not negative. Happiness. Yay. Optimism seems to have a swift impact on stroke, Kim says in this latest release. Now, there's a second analysis coming out to assess whether the relationship between optimism and stroke could be related to the absence of negative psychological factors. And it showed that in this second report or analysis that optimism protects against stroke above and beyond such factors. This is very cool. The old comedians used to say, it's mind over matter. If you don't mind, then it really doesn't matter. And I guess when you think positively, we have to look at so much of the things that would disturb us and maybe cause us to leap into negativity. Right? I cover here on the show a lot of things that would be perceived as negative stories in the media. Hopefully to point out their absurdity, maybe laugh at them a little bit. And yes, point out seriousness as well. But hopefully to take a different course, take a different chart in life and you know, tactfully switch direction, if you will. Switch direction. So I remember when I was going through my lifeguard training all those years ago, they called it a quick reverse. You approach a really dangerous, drowning victim who's in a panic mode, and you're going in fast, 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 and right before you get to them, you do a stop and a quick reverse. And this is really to allow you to assess the situation so that you don't drown along with the drowning person. You're not harmed by it. So we can tackle these tough situations, bullies, etc., head on. You get in there and, boom, stop, quick reverse, and now assess and go in a safer way. Maybe it is utilizing positivity. Maybe it is really assessing the situation and bathing it in love, for goodness sake, in divine love, for which we all hope that we have more of that in our lives each day, not less. And if there's a way I like to measure my life, it would be on that basis. Not on the basis of whether I have more Federal Reserve notes than you or anybody else or than yesterday, but more of that vitamin L that holds the universe together. We're going to talk about that in a little while with my dear friend Liam Sheff as we cover the morphological energetic fields that determine the material world. This is going to be very cool. So more on the positive thinking, the power therein of positive thinking. I often talk about, I end each show with the power to heal is yours. And what is the important part of that? Is it the power or is it the healing? Now, I could say that the love to heal is yours. I suppose that would be appropriate. We talk about the old Huey Lewis and the News song. Wasn't that from one of the, what was that, the Back to the Future, the power of love? Or is it the love of power? I question these things from time to time. I can't help it. That's what I do. And, love, is it more powerful than power? You know, vitamin L, how powerful is that? If the power of positive thinking leads us to more vitamin L, then I'm all for it. But in this case, you know, we're just measuring a physiological event here, a so-called disease tragic accident called a stroke, and your likelihood to get it based on having positive thinking or not. Now, there are people that really love or lust after power, and I think that will ring hollow or shallow over time, as just simply having power with no direction, you know, can lead to a short circuit, right? You got all this power, and it discharges like, oh, what was that? Well, that was kind of cool. Or do you want to send it in a direction that is actually quite creative and empowering to other people? Or to use that power and wield it against people to weaken them, to show them, I am all powerful and you will kneel before me. How many times has that played out in history? You know, I think that should get old by now, shouldn't it? I guess it doesn't. You know, for those in government, they love to have power over you when they are the ones who are supposed to be the servants. But in the meantime, you know, I don't want to go into that because we might get a stroke thinking about those public servants who are not servants. As we talk about being optimistic, having this protective effect on stroke because of the behavior choices being more beneficial, right? If you're optimistic, you're going to exercise more likely. You're more likely to eat a healthier diet. You might take supplements, according to the researchers anyway. However, this is really shocking when I get down to this point, because I thought that that's what they would just do. They would discard all the rest and say, well, the reason positive thinking is good is not because of the energy it brings or other esoteric or unexplainable things that happen, inexplicable things, as we should say, but because you just do things differently. But the researchers actually, to their credit, they go further. They say that there is some evidence that indicates positive thinking may have a strictly biological effect as well. Now, this really is quite shocking because the scientific community doesn't like to admit that energy and thought affects the material world, the material universe. And clearly it does here. And I don't know what you utilize to be positive, right? This is something that is unique, or it's an individual thing for each of us. You may find that, thinking of a religious figure, a prayer, or who knows what other things do. I mean, some people can just think of children, look at their children laughing, and they're thinking positive again, because there's plenty that we can watch in the news if we get obsessed, news obsessed, a news watcher. And granted, because I do this show with my producer, we review a lot of stories, it'd be easy to be negative, and we don't ever mean to be negative, but certainly the observations have to be made, and hopefully to demystify them and pull the plug on their energy source so that you can see past or through it, and they no longer have the same power over you to manifest, well, I should say, your thought forms first, and then to manifest these negative things in your own life, right? The fear. Oh my gosh, this is happening. The world is whatever. And then, of course, it affects everything we do in life. The stress levels go up, and the likelihood that we have a physiological event like a stroke increases. And that's the amazing thing here that we're finding out with this story. Being optimistic, actually impacting biology. Now, they come back with this. More studies are needed to further understand the mechanisms that facilitate the protective role of optimism on stroke. But they note that the twin studies show that only a portion of optimism is genetic. This is funny. Genetic optimism. How do you know if your genes are optimistic? They're just kind of a semi-blueprint, but really what you do, what you believe, actually causes them to express or write differently. So they're still a little backwards, where they actually say, well, optimism is genetic. You know, this is all the determinism aspect that we need to get beyond. But they also suggest that if further research continues to point to the protective role of optimism against stroke, then there is need for further research to assess how optimism interventions can supplement current stroke protocol. You over there. Yes, I saw you frowning. You need an optimism intervention. Get over here. No, we're coming to get you. We're going to put a bag over your head until you're optimistic. Somehow, I don't know if that's what they mean by that, but what else are you going to think of an optimism intervention? When I'm for an optimistic, non-interventionist foreign and domestic policy, I don't know how I would fit into that study, if I would fit at all. But we'll figure it out as the day goes by here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Staying optimistic, shiny, happy people here on the United States and World of Health Talk Radio. Remember, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355 is the number to be part of the program. RobertScottBell.com is the website. NaturalNewsRadio.com is where you're likely listening. And if you're listening between the hours of noon and 2 or 4 and 6 p.m. Eastern Time U.S., you can also click through TalkStreamLive.com, and that will help us to outreach to further our message of health, freedom, and liberty to those that love talk radio but don't yet know about Natural News Radio or the Robert Scott Bell Show. So thank you for being here. We got lots of healing to do. Again, Liam Shep coming up. We're going to talk about the order of the universe. Is it electro? Is it chemical? Is it electromagnetic? And how does that affect everything moving forward in the scientific realm and beyond? Big questions are answered today on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Stay with us.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
What is the number one secret to all your health problems? I'll give you a hint. Dr. Alexis Carroll kept chicken heart tissue alive for 28 years in a test tube. He said the cells remained youthful so long as the metabolic wastes were washed away. But when wastes were allowed to accumulate in and around the cell would age and then die. So the key to radiant health is cellular cleanliness. And the key to keeping the cells clean of chemicals, free radicals, and heavy metals that we are bombarded with in our society is glutathione. This master antioxidant is required by every cell of the body. Glutathione levels decline due to toxicity and aging. The number one food to replenish your body's glutathione levels up to 64% or more is unheated, grass-fed whey protein powder. This miraculous superfood may do more for your health than any other supplement you've ever taken. To get your free report on the best whey protein powder, call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Information is so good, it requires no expiration date. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
All right, stay optimistic, Robert. You can do it. You can do it. There are good stories out there you can cover. And in fact, one right now, actually kind of weird because it involves the FDA. And it is optimistic because they rejected a drug. Can you imagine? The FDA rejects the new use for the J&J immune disorder drug. And some of you go, well, that's not optimistic. You think that it would be a good thing to have an immune disorder drug. Well, no, because your immune system doesn't operate on drugs. Not very well anyway. In fact, the only thing drugs can do is shut down your immune system. But I suppose because of their wrong-headed approach to immune dysfunction, dysregulation, and autoimmunity, they're only protocol is to find a toxic substance that can wipe out your immune system, or maybe can attack the debris that is excess to the normal amounts of created, well, substances within the body. Why would that happen? We don't care. We're J&J. We just want a drug to wipe it out. Yeah, that's right. Healthcare giant Johnson & Johnson plans to meet with the U.S. regulators after they refuse to approve a new use for the company's immune disorder drug, Simponi. Is that like Simple Pony? It's a Simple Pony. How do they come up with these names? Simple Pony drug. Well, it's not a Simple Pony drug. It's a Simponi. The company based in New Brunswick, New Jersey, where a lot of big pharma lives, said Friday night that the FDA notified its Janssen Biotech Incorp subsidiary that it would not approve the marketing of Simponi for limiting progression of structural damage in patients with moderate to severe rheumatoid arthritis. In a statement, Janssen says it will request a meeting with the FDA to discuss the details of the decision and future steps to achieve the intended approval. In other words, how can we get you to reverse your decision? Can we grease the wheels this way? How about a little payola here this way? I mean, where is this going? Simponi evidently is a genetically engineered antibody drug. You thought it was just monkeys and humans put together. You thought it was just genetically modified organisms in soy and corn and wheat. No, no, no. It turns out that these drugs for the immune system are also genetically engineered, in this case, to track down and bind up the excess TNF-alpha in the blood. That's tumor necrosis factor alpha in the blood. In some people, this is the reason why they claim it's necessary. The body produces excess levels of this protein, causing inflammation and damage to bones, cartilage, and tissue. It's not so much the excess levels that causes the inflammation. The inflammation precedes it. But that is not something they can handle because Simponi would never be needed. Back in 2009, it was first approved for sale in Europe and Canada as a monthly injection for treating psoriatic arthritis, ankylosing spondylitis, and in combination with the drug methotrexate for moderate to severe rheumatoid arthritis. These are chemotherapeutic drugs. And I know people with rheumatoid arthritis. I'm not minimizing the severe disability and debility. And it's just awful. But as I've talked about for so many years here on this show, the rheumatoid arthritis is really the damage to the cells themselves that precedes the immune activity, that precedes the chronic immune inflammatory cascade and the attack on the cells of the skeletal system. But it's a completely different universe that they operate in Big Pharma, because they can't acknowledge that there's an order to the universe, that there is a purpose in your immune system doing what it's doing. And of course, when you recognize the damage to the cells due to toxins, due to free radical inflammation, due to the deficiencies, due to all of the exposures to heavy metals and, you know, radiation, who knows what else, synthetics from the plastics, the petrochemicals, whether we're breathing it in or eating it, and all of these things damaging our structural skeletal integrity, our lack of silica to rebuild the structure of the connective tissue, that eventually the immune system says, well, that's not me. Those cells are not me. That used to be a bone cell. That doesn't look like my bone cell, because it's so corrupted due to the deficiencies and the toxins and the chronic inflammation. Whether it was acute initially, it became chronic because our liver stopped working. Well, not totally, but it became congested and it couldn't, let's say, detoxify the metabolic wastes on top of the environmental wastes. And then they say, oh, there's too much TNF-alpha. That's it. If we can get genetically modified drug to reduce TNF-alpha, that'll be good. Well, it's good if all you want to do is suppress your symptoms and not address the underlying cause. But, of course, that's good because that's what Big Pharma is all about. And you'll be on another drug and another drug and another drug. They'll suppress your immune system to the point and degree that the next logical expression of disease will be cancer, the big C, created by modern medicine. We call that iatrogenic cancer. Because, and they acknowledge this here in the article, and I've got it linked up at robertscottbell.com, because Simponi suppresses part of the immune system, use can result in serious infections, including tuberculosis. TB, how are you getting TB? I always ask this question. Do they put tuberculosis on the drug itself? Is there latent TB, tuberculinums? What do they got going on here? Let's inject some TB into that pill you're taking for your rheumatoid arthritis. Of course, it's absurd. The reality is you don't have to catch tuberculosis. You don't have to get coughed on to have tuberculosis. Now people are going to freak out. Robert said I don't have to catch TB. Oh, my gosh. No, this is empowering. This is positive. This is optimism. The reality is what they're telling you is that you're literally, due to your toxic chemotherapeutic immune deficiency disease, which is what they're giving you, you will develop the end stage infection that kills so many around planet Earth because of deficiencies, because of toxicity, because of nutritional deficiencies, abject poverty. TB is a disease of abject poverty, but in the West, it's a disease of pharmaceutical toxicity and immune suppression. And beyond the infections, including TB, that are the result of taking Simponi, are rare disorders that they like to say, unusual cancers. Didn't I say that? Cancer. I wasn't making it up. I didn't even get to that part of the story, and I knew it was there. In children and teenagers. Because they're giving this to teens and children with rheumatoid arthritis, with these immune disorders, which are not disorders. They're appropriate responses of your own immune system. They're talking about reactivation of the hepatitis B virus. Oh my gosh, that's it. Simponi has reactivating powers. It goes in there and it finds inactivated hepatitis B and it goes, here, come to life. It's alive. It's alive. You see how absurd and dangerous this is. It also is precipitating heart failure. More liver problems for where this all started. Bruising and bleeding easily. Of course, you can't repair tissue when you have no liver function. And lupus-like symptoms. Another autoimmune condition, such as shortness of breath, joint, muscle, and chest pain. The very thing, joint pain, that you're suffering from to begin with rheumatoid arthritis. Even neurological problems, such as MS, are precipitated or exacerbated by the use of Simponi. Yeah, so go ahead and approve it, FDA. What are you? Yeah, you're being unreasonable here. No, hats off to the FDA for rejecting it, but are they going to reverse their decision when J&J twists their arms or pays them off? I don't know, but are you ready to understand the true nature of autoimmunity, of autoimmune diseases? That these are diseases of deficiency, toxicity. These are diseases where our cells are so corrupted that they are no longer recognized by our immune system as self. They are considered foreign. That's not you. That's not me. Go get it. Sick them, boy. Sick them down. You want to say down, boy? You want to downregulate your immune system? How about restoring healthy cells? How about giving health back to the cells? A little optimism goes a long way, right? I think I can. I know I can. I see those cells recovering. I see those skeletal cells happy. Shiny, happy skeletal connective tissue. And then, of course, as the study previously we talked about, you begin to act differently. You begin behaving differently. You begin doing different things to promote healthy restoration of the integrity of the cells so that your cells are restored to self. And that is how you reverse immune, hyperimmune responses, overimmune responses, autoimmune responses in under 8 minutes on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Of course, now it's up to you to do the work that is required, of course, to, you know, follow up on this. Oh, man, I can be optimistic now. I heard about Robert Shedding. We can restore integrity to self and watch the immune system. You see, the immune system smart. Either you think it's dumb or it's not, or it's smart, right? There's order to the universe. There's intelligence to the universe. There's organization to the universe. That's why a little later in the show, Liam Sheff's going to join me. We're going to talk about the order of the universe. We're going to put order back in the universe. Actually, the order never left the universe. It left the people observing the universe and creating strange and aberrant theories about how the world works, how the universe came to be. And we can address all of that here on this show. It's amazing what we could do on this now that we're, you know, daily. I knew it. This would be great fun. I hope you're having fun. I certainly am. It's wonderful. Wonderful news. Now, of course, we've got to recognize the things we need to do in order to restore integrity to the cells. And my dear friend Stephen Huer, we've been on this show a number of times over the years talking about how do we ramp up production of glutathione because we've got to detoxify the cells that have been damaged and corrupted. You know, if the cell just in theory were a beautiful egg shape, perfect egg shape, where if those cells become deficient and toxic and there's not enough selenium, not enough of the precursors necessary to produce the glutathione that those cells need to detoxify, pretty soon that egg is going to look like a cracked egg. I mean, it's going to be pockmarked, it's going to be crumbly, it's not going to look like you. And of course, your immune system's going to know that and go, that isn't me. It was me. It's not me now. Now, my imperative, because I'm an immune cell, is I've got to attack and kill that foreign, even though it wasn't foreign, cell that was corrupted from within. So what can we do to restore integrity to self? Well, I would encourage you to do the things you know need to be done to improve detoxification pathways. Give the body what it needs, the methyl groups, if you will, that bind out the bad guys as well. We've talked about selenium so many times here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, but how many of you are actually taking at least a couple hundred micrograms, perhaps more, of a whole food form of selenium? Do you have rheumatoid arthritis? Do you know somebody that has it? Are you doing things like that? Have you increased your levels of essential fatty acids, the EPA and the DHA, to adequate levels to cool some of the inflammatory cascades? to give the body the regenerative capability and capacity to restore integrity to self, to the cells, to the bone cells, the osteobone, the cells, the bones. Come on. Don't be an inflamed bonehead. Help your bones. Reduce their inflammation. And of course, detoxification, hydration, the simple act of hydration and remineralization. We talked with Dr. Carolyn Dean again last week, and we talked intensely about magnesium as well. Rebuilding the bones, having the cartilage have integrity, in addition to the silicon, which is so critical. Beyond the magnesium, we got the boron. We've got strontium, not radioactive strontium, preferably, of course. But there are a lot of whole food sources and innovative companies that are utilizing whole food nutrients to restore integrity to self in conjunction with detoxification, in conjunction with promoting, let's say, not pro-inflammatory cascades, but I hesitate to use anti-inflammatory, we're not against it, but down-regulating the inflammatory cascades, which, you know, one of the studies I point to frequently is the use of silver in the nanoparticle size because it down-regulates the fibrogenic cytokine storm. So there are a lot of tools, techniques that we can utilize, including energetic methods of healing, homeopathy, that will also work to cool down the immune system, not suppress it, but in conjunction with the restoration of integrity of self. Am I making myself clear? I hope this is an optimistic. It is actually, because there's not only hope, there's actual things you can do to reverse course in the course of autoimmunity and rheumatoid arthritis. So now what do we do? I'd say let's go out and play in the dirt. Yeah, let's go play in the dirt. Oh, no, there are microbes there. Well, actually, you're going to find out after the break. We're going to talk about a story where playing in the dirt, where gardening actually reduces lung problems by 50%. You're likely to have them. Yeah, great news. More optimism on tap here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. RobertScottBell.com, 866-939-2355. Coming right back after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Got a question for Robert? Call now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Did you know that your hormones can be rejuvenated without cancer-causing hormone replacement, including bioidentical HRT? This is Dr. Teresa Dale inviting you to take action with my natural homeopathic formulas. Get relief and balance back into your life. My formulas help heal a variety of health conditions, including menopause or low T. You know you have the power to heal your body and mind. And yes, my system and products will help you do that. They have been proven with thousands of people in before and after saliva tests. You can actually get a saliva test sent to you today or just start using our formulas for optimal wellness. Learn more at wellnesscenter.net or naturalhealingpro.com. And you can always give us a call at 800-219-1261.
Robert Scott Bell.
Let's take a walk on the wild side.
Alrighty then.
You're everywhere, baby. Radio, TV, the papers. Am I right?
Robert Scott Bell.
All right, we're back. It's time to play in the dirt on the Robert Scott Bell Show. What a great thing to do. And, you know, kids love it, and we should not fear the mud, the dirt, the real stuff, the soil, the salt of the earth, all of these things that are there, the minerals as such. Actually, a green thumb is a great way to stay healthy and happy optimism, right? This story came out yesterday on Natural News. We got J.D. Hayes getting a good one on this. And it's happy, it's healthy, but research now shows it can actually protect you from lung problems, including lung cancer. Yes, that's right, noted Cancer Treatment Research Center, MD Anderson. And they're pretty much a mainstream MD Anderson chemotherapy kind of group out of the University of Texas. Guess what? They found in a study that time spent gardening once or twice a week can reduce the risk of cancer by not 10, not 20, not 30, not 40, but 50% in lifelong non-smokers. Moreover, the researchers found the same level of gardening activity, even by smokers, those evil smokers, they want to, you know, accuse you of horrible things, but you can reduce your lung cancer risk by as much as 40% just by being out there gardening and playing in the dirt again. Isn't this wonderful news? I'm so happy. Well, while the researchers said they weren't exactly sure if gardening reduced the incidence of cancer more than other physical activities, they did find that it was the most commonly shared trait among the study's participants. So really powerful indications here that doing the things that we talked about, Mike Adams and I, in the food security event, the Be Prepared, Not Scared Series 2, food security, by doing those things, you're not only going to plan for your survival and be surviving, but even if you had a proclivity or a predisposition toward lung cancer, however much you believe in genetic predispositions, I would argue more for environmental expression. But whatever you believe, the fact of the matter is, if you're out there gardening, not only are you prepping for your own health and the health of your family, but beyond that, your future down the road, if you have a pathway that is pointing toward lung cancer, you're likely going to reduce that as well. And by the way, I don't know how much longer it's going to be this way, but if you click on the food security event, Be Prepared, Not Scared, it is on sale for 50% off for a very limited time, so take advantage of it. Don't kick yourself and go, why didn't I do that? Get it now, and I've got it linked up through the blog at robertscottbell.com in the show notes today as well, so you can see how to get a hold of that. So great news on reducing cancer by playing in the dirt. How cool is that? People who garden, of course, this is where they come back to what I said in the whole positive belief system about life. And if you're positive, you'll do different things. They said they tend to eat better food, right? So if you're out in the garden, you're likely more aware and more connected to your food, and you're more likely to eat healthier food. Untainted by, oh my gosh, they acknowledge it, chemicals, synthetic chemicals, poisons, and food that is much tastier than what you're used to buying in a supermarket. So yes, you recognize the value of lovely organic food. Whether it's certified or not, you know how good it is for you, and it darn tastes good, even better than the conventional produce. Now, gardening means also exposure to the sun. Here's another cofactor, vitamin D. Have we talked about it? Have Mike Adams talked about it? A lot of the holistic healthcare providers have been talking about producing vitamin D. Getting out there in the sunshine, feeling it, living it, that energy that only the vitamin D that's produced by the sun can help you to do, preventing a lot of cancers, including lung cancer. Now, I don't want to hear back from you smokers and say, hey, Robert said I can puff away. That's right. I heard it on the Robert Scott Bell Show. He said I can smoke more now because I'm gardening. That is not what I said. And I hope that if you do smoke, you're growing your own tobacco. I don't know. Is that allowed? Can you grow your own tobacco, or is it like cannabis? You're not allowed to do that. Anyway, if we had organic tobacco and that's all it was, it wouldn't be as big a problem as with everything else There are actually vitamins in tobacco. But again, in the traditional big tobacco cigarette, it ain't the tobacco that I'm so worried about. It's everything else that they throw in there with it. Now, another reason why gardening may contain some anti-cancer, better health qualities because of the contact with the soil, the nutrients from the soil, and also, oh my gosh, the microbes, the microflora. Why is it that more and more information is coming out about gut ecology, gut health, microflora, how critical it is for the utilization of nutrients, for actually releasing the nutrients from the food I hope that you're eating that is whole and untainted to the greatest degree possible by arrogant men who want to give you cancer. Well, I don't give it to you. It's not communicable, but help you create it because they make a lot of money, the profit. You talk about the cancer industry, people are making a killing, and no pun intended there. More people are making a living off of cancer than die from it every year, and there are a lot of people still dying from it. Not actually dying from the cancer, if I'm honest about that. Dying from the oncological, officially sanctioned, government-licensed treatment of cancer. Homegrown vegetables, yay, contain anti-cancer nutrients. Shh, don't tell anybody. Don't tell the Cancer Institute. They don't want to know. But MD Anderson, to their credit, has acknowledged that gardeners less likely, by a factor of 50% evidently, if I can say it that way, less likely to get lung cancer, more reason for optimism right here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. And now that you're going to go out and dig and grow stuff, maybe you want to grow some almonds. You like almonds? I like almonds. I don't like them irradiated, but I do like almonds. There's a story here out of Medical News Today. More good news, and this relates to cardioprotective effects, in this case of almonds, nutrients that are provided by these almonds. Now, this is an interesting story. This is kind of a dual story because on one hand, it's like, yes, of course, heart protective things, these nutrients, these fats, these other things. But you're going to find in this story, it's kind of a mixed bag of nuts because guess what? There are nutritionists? No, registered dietitians involved. So whatever we do here, we're going to have to take it with a grain of radioactive salt, iodized. No, not sea salt, not crystal salt, but the salt that the dietitians think is salt, even though we know better. More than 1 in 3 American adults suffer from cardiovascular disease, CVD. And that's different than your BVDs. Never mind. And reducing risk factors for such a widespread disease typically begins with lifestyle and diet changes. Typically, but not really, because if they follow the dietitian's charge, they're going to have you on a low-fat diet, which is actually worse for you, and then they'll recommend that you lower your cholesterol with statin drugs. They'll send you out to a doctor to do that. They'll be all for that. Yes, they will. But a recent scientific review conducted by researchers and the RDs, the registered dietitians, suggests that nutrient-rich almonds have been shown to promote heart health. Oh, no, look out. FDA coming for your almonds. We can't have them say almonds are good for your heart. They might be misconstrued to be an unapproved, dangerous new drug. Why are they healthy? Well, you know, the registered dietitians say it's because they maintain healthy cholesterol levels. Oh, yes. Here we go again. The mythology that cholesterol causes heart disease. It does not. Now, this review, it was entitled The Effects of Almond Consumption on the Reduction of LDL Cholesterol, a discussion of potential mechanisms and future research directions, and published in Nutrition Reviews. There's a number of people, a Bachelor of Science, somebody had a PhD, an RD, another RD, here an RD, there an RD, oh, there an MD. Everybody's doing it. Old MacDonald had some cholesterol, and we want to reduce it because we don't know that it doesn't cause heart disease. But I progress, I shall say. This is an interesting story again because they're telling you that it affects the LDL again. Now, I'm not against the impact of you know, changing your levels as such, but I don't want you to overemphasize this because in such overemphasis, we often go into that low fat kind of diet and lifestyle, which creates more inflammation within the cardiovascular system, which then necessitates the patching and repairing of damage to the inflamed walls of the arteries, for instance. And therein lies the opposite rub that the dietitians don't have a clue, that the cholesterol keeps you alive long enough to potentially have a heart attack later. If it weren't for cholesterol, you'd be dead of this inflammation and a breaching of an artery long before you could have a heart attack. But they still are, you know, saying 1.5 ounces per day of most nuts, such as almonds, as part of a diet low in saturated fat and cholesterol may reduce the risk of heart disease. See, they're dunderheads. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be negative. I'm just being nice and true. Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Well, it's kind to the people who are duped by these registered dietitians who continue to believe that saturated fat causes heart disease. It does not. It's what's in the saturated fat that concerns me. If you've got good, healthy, saturated fat, not loaded with toxins and pesticides and RBGH, you're fine. It's going to be very helpful to your nervous system, your brain, your heart health, all of that stuff. But they're still on this nonsense, low-fat, low-cholesterol diet, and eating cholesterol doesn't really elevate your cholesterol levels anyway. Eat tons of organic, free-range, real eggs. Eat a lot of them. You're not going to elevate cholesterol levels. If you do marginally, that'll be news. Because there's a feedback mechanism, you'll produce less. But if you have high cholesterol, dangerously high hypercholesterolemia, it's more indicative of liver problems for which the RDs don't know a thing about. No. They still want you drinking diet sodas. Oh, my goodness. Well, this review, as I quote from the article here, takes a unique perspective on almonds as a food that may help maintain healthy cholesterol levels, discussing important almond nutrients and their potential mechanistic role in promoting heart health. The message that almonds in and of themselves are a heart-healthy snack should be emphasized to consumers. Moreover, when almonds are incorporated into a healthy, balanced diet, the benefits are even greater. Oh, what a chock full of nuts that is. Yes, I like almonds, but half of the information in here is a crock full of chock full of not good nuts, bad nuts of the registered dietitian still promoting the nonsense of low cholesterol and low saturated fat. The recently published review, as I continue here and wrap up this story, cites research that supports the potential heart health benefits of plant-based protein, fiber, and unsaturated fats. You get too many unsaturated fats, you go omega-6 happy, which is not so happy if you go overboard there. Whether these nutrients contribute to the heart health benefits of almonds is not known. After all that, they say they're not known. But further research is warranted. Yeah, I got a warrant for your arrest, you registered dietitians who still believe in the cholesterol mythology. The review concludes that adding whole, natural almonds. Why don't you say organic, unpasteurized, unirradiated almonds? Then you'd be on to something. To one's daily diet may contribute to maintaining healthy cholesterol levels. Among the findings are following key stats: fatty acids, fatty acid profile, 91 to 94% unsaturated fatty acids. Again, they're promoting cholesterol levels here. Fiber, dietary fiber, part of the National Cholesterol Education Programs, the National Cholesterol Indoctrination Programs. Have I ever referenced, since I've been on daily with Natural News Radio, the International Cholesterol Skeptics? You know about them? I mean, this is a group of doctors, researchers, PhDs, MDs, all of this, that have questioned the whole cholesterol mythology for a long, long time. And if you're still duped, or if you still know somebody who's duped, I'll have this linked up at the blog. It's thincs.org. Cholesterol, to fear or not to fear? That is the question. The International Network of Cholesterol Skeptics. They have a couple of interesting quotes right on their front page. I'll read you. One's from Thomas Huxley. We might have to bring him up next hour with Liam Sheff talking about the electromagnetic universe. But he says this: the great tragedy of science, the slaying of a beautiful hypothesis by an ugly fact. That's a great line. How about this one from Karl R. Popper? The growth of knowledge depends entirely on disagreement. Yeah, that's getting past scientism to real science, which we support, defend, and endorse here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. One more segment real quick, and then we are going to answer the questions of life, the universe, and everything with Liam Sheff. This is going to be great. We're going to have a great time today. Really positive, isn't it? A happy, shiny time with the Robert Scott Bell Show today. RobertScottBell.com, 866-939-2355, 866-939-BELL. Go to naturalnewsradio.com if you're not already doing so. Put your email in there and we'll get you updated every day with great information, links, etc. And if you miss anything, just go to my website. You'll get it there as well. Coming right back, one more segment this hour on the Robert Scott Bell Show, then Liam Sheff.
If you're looking for FDA-approved radio, you're listening to the wrong show. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now, we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL. Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
You know, I realize sometimes I can be tough on doctors in the medical community because of what they prescribe. And usually, it's FDA-approved medication, pharmaceutical toxic drugs that create more problems than you begin with. But there's a Texas doctor who's really ramped up a different kind of technique here for prescription that it's a lot less damaging, believe it or not. Yes, it involves violence. Yes, it involves force, but it's temporary. It's not so bad. Here's the story, but it's no laughing matter. Texas doctor writes prescription for spanking. That's right. What a classic case here. Oh, you've got an unruly child. Here, let me write you. Here's my script. I'm going to give you Ritalin. No, Ritalin. Let me scratch that out. How about a little spanking? Yes, that would be lovely. But Courtney Capps of Burleson, Texas, is not happy about this. She is angry with a doctor who prescribed spanking for her 5-year-old son, Isaiah. An incident the doctor said was meant as a joke. Come on, people, lighten up. Actually, spanking would have been a lot more benign than the drug you wanted Isaiah to have, Courtney. Maybe. I'm not sure. I'm assessing the situation here with you right now. The young mother did not see that there was anything to laugh about. Come on, Courtney. No laughing matter. Cap says she was shocked when an emergency department physician at Hugugli. Well, of course, where else are you going to prescribe spanking but Hugugli Memorial Medical Center, okay? Wrote out the prescription for her child in January, according to the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Apply large paddle to bottom of child anytime he needs it. It read. Okay. All right. The paddle was a little on the excessive side. I mean, couldn't you have had mom use her hand, a little bare hand action there? Wouldn't that have been a little bit more humane? That was especially puzzling since Caps had taken her young son to the hospital because she was worried about infection in his finger. Spank that infection out. Bam, bam, bam. That's how you do it. Of course, I would have much rather had the doctor at that point prescribe silver, which is what I've used for my child when he's had an infected finger or toe, plus homeopathy. But he didn't do that. He went for the forceful method. We know allopathic medicine is all about force. As if he had not done enough damage, Dr. Carl Gossett, who is white, what does that have to do with anything? I don't know. Well, let's see. Asked about the boy's race. Well, isn't that what the government does on surveys all the time? Are you white, black, yellow, green, brown? What does it matter? Well, he's just following up on probably these Medicare stats or Medicaid, I don't know. But Caps, who is also white, said when she replied that he is biracial, the doctor gave a grunt and walked out of the room. The doctor grunted and walked out of the room. I wonder what that means. The low guttural grunt from the doctor after he prescribed spanking. Could this doctor really be a caveman? You know, and the overemphasis on pigmentation, really, it does upset me. It's upset me since I was little. It was just the way I was raised as well. It's all about, oh, what color is your skin? How much pigment do you have? You got more, you're better. You got less, you're worse. Who cares? Soul is what's inside. Okay, get me on the philosophy and the spirituality. We'll go there. Well, we'll be positive again. Complaint filed with the Texas Medical Board. Caps has hired an attorney. Is this really necessary? It was a joke. And filed a complaint with the Texas Medical Board against Dr. Gossett. Of course, this may go nowhere. If Dr. Gossett had prescribed for the infection colloidal silver, yeah, busted. He would have been busted out the river, sent out home packing, fined. He would have lost his license. If he would have prescribed vitamin C, same thing. If we would have prescribed echinacea, busted. If he would have prescribed garlic extract, he would have lost. But spanking, we'll see where that goes. But certainly, because he probably also prescribed an antibiotic, he'll be fine. They'll just slap him on the wrist. We prescribe slapping this doctor on the wrist. We take our patients' concerns very seriously, according to the Who Googly Hospital spokesman. The interaction was taken immediately to the ER medical director, and appropriate action was taken. Whatever that was. Did they pull his pants down and spank him too? It looks like the physician in question is no longer at Who Googly Hospital. Who Googly Woogly, bye-bye. It's good to know that Hugugli Memorial Hospital recognized the severity of Dr. Gossett's behavior, but it is nevertheless alarming to think that any doctor could mistreat his patients like this. Let's hope that Courtney Capp's actions will prevent any repeat performances of this doctor or any other. I don't know. I think there's a bit of overreaction here to you. I could be wrong. I could be off my rocker. I might need a spanking. Honey, where are you? Anyway, whatever you think, let me know. Am I being out of sorts here? I'm trying to stay positive. I think it's a funny story. Yes, spanking, not good in all cases. But there are times that I would argue that if your child is doing very dangerous things, dangerous behavior, much like the ouch that accompanies the painful touching of the hot stove, it can be a learning experience that the pain a parent can inflict with a spanking on the bottom might be far less than the damage and danger and perhaps even death-inducing events of a child that has gone off the family reservation to engage in dangerous behaviors that might be brought back into line via the attention of a quick smack on the bottom. Oh, it's cruel. It's heartless. Robert, oh, where was the positivity and the love? Where's the love? It's right here on the Robert Scott Bell Show every day. And we are going to do some stuff with the electromagnetic universe. Remember the story about the tadpole that became a frog and they filmed the electric activity that showed how it was we relied on the electricity to make it happen. Oh my gosh, the quackbusters, the skeptics, they're not going to be pleased with what we have to share with you. But the universe will never be the same after this quick break. And in the meantime, I remind you, as I do every day here, that the power to heal truly is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
72% of America is obese or overweight. Heart disease, cancer, and diabetes are at all-time highs. America is sick, fat, and confused. Hi, I'm Kevin Brown, author of The Liberation Diet. I'd like to personally invite you to join me for a 4-week intensive course called Liberation Wellness for Life. In this course, you'll learn the truth about how to use real food to lose weight without sacrificing good taste or nutrition. Come on. Summer's just around the corner. You can lose weight with real foods. Think it can't be done? Listen to a few satisfied customers.
I would absolutely recommend Kevin's program to people who are serious about their own success, serious about their own good health, and serious about improving the quality of their life.
Join me for this very special online event. Go to liberationwellness.com and click the online class link. Mention Natural News Radio and receive a $20 discount. That's liberationwellness.com.
Mm-hmm.
You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Well, look at all these trillions of dollars debt, lost jobs, and foreclosed homes.
Did I do that?
You dug yourself a hole and you crawled in it.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
Joe, we have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just hit me on the head.
Robert Scott Bell.
We will make this the most honest, ethical, and open Congress in history.
Is there any insanity in your family?
Do we have the power to tell people what they have to eat every day?
Senator Coburn,
today, Junior?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Skeptics, beware! The Robert Scott Bell Show is on the air. Thank you for being here. I've got a very special hour this hour with my dear friend, Liam Sheff. That he is liamsheff.com, reducetheburden.org. He's an investigative journalist, been covering a lot of things in the field of science and what we call scientism, and really busting through the myths. And last week I sent him, and I covered this on the air, a fascinating story. It was published in one of the medical journals about these so-called morphological fields, how that there are electrical impulses that basically allow or, intuit, but literally shape matter. Without these electrical impulses, you'll end up like a Salvador Dali painting in real life. And so we've got to take on the skeptics who have said there's no such thing as energy, or if there is, it has no effect on matter, or if it does, it's all homeopathy and that's bunk. So we got a lot of cool stuff to do this hour on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Check it out, robertscottbell.com. All the links are up, and so is Liam Sheff. Welcome back to the show.
Robert, this is a great day. This is a paradigm-changing day. This story got to me by virtue of Skype a week late. So it looks new to my eyes, but I've been saying this for a while. This is beyond, I don't use this word very often, this is beyond cool.
Yes, it is. Now, remember when I sent this out and I covered it, I was so excited. I just said, you know, the Quackbusters and the Amazing Brandy can suck it. I mean, that's it, because they are all the skeptics of the world. They try to deny energetic reality, how the energy is the universe and vice versa. Of course, quantum physicists have said that. They've even gone further and said the only thing that explains the universe and how it is held together is love. So we really got to get to some heavy stuff here. At the same time, it lightens my heart to do so.
Let's jump in and tell what the story says. The story is coming out of Science Daily, and it says, the face of a frog, time-lapse video reveals never-before-seen bioelectrical pattern. Now, what they're saying is that there's a stream of ions, electrons. There's a stream of electrical energy in the little body of this tadpole during formation in the embryonic process, and positive and negative charges align on the tissue. And that predicts, and they can actually photograph where the face will be. That predicts the formation of the physical matter. It's an electromagnetic process. When I say electromagnetic, people may wonder what I'm saying. All magnetism forms an electrical current. All electrical flow forms a magnetic field. They're hand in hand when I'm referring to the same phenomenon. It's an electrical current. And these biologists are saying, let me quote them. For the first time, Tufts University biologists have reported that bioelectrical signals are necessary for normal head and facial formation in living organisms and have captured that process in time-lapse video that reveals never-before-seen patterns of visible bioelectrical signals outlining where eyes, nose, mouth, and other features will appear in the embryonic tadpole.
Hmm. Now, this, you know, that goes into, as we said, the electrical universe. You've talked about it in terms you've written about it. In fact, there's a fantastic new article up on your site there. I'm pulling it up, and we have this through the website at robertscottbell.com, the show notes, and it's at liamsheff.com, How Life Came to Be. You call it your rough draft, and we're drafting it out further here on radio, so to speak. So this is really exciting to me as well, because we've talked about these things both on the air and off the air for a long time. How do we get to that point of understanding. You know, it isn't so much that we've got to convince the so-called skeptics, because I could give a flip less about them. They're going to still cry in their spilt, I don't know, what chemical milk or RBGH-infested milk, and that's fine. But what we're doing is moving forward, and now science is validating, real science is validating, as opposed to the scientism that you've written so eloquently about as well.
Right. They can drink their genetically modified swill, telling us all that genetic modification doesn't matter and it's fine and it's safe. And I hope they have a good time doing it, because we're zooming past that. They can catch up if they want to. I was given a couple of books by my microbiotics teacher, Jim Cowell, in Philadelphia when I was about 19 or 20. The books were by a guy called Rupert Sheldrake. It was just, go read this, he said. Go read about this morphogenetic, this field theory of evolution. Well, what's this field theory? Rupert Sheldrake's a biologist, and he writes about the idea that what we know, and all that, what we knew then and what we know now about genetics, this mechanical unfolding of this these sugar and phosphate bases in our cells, no way gives us an understanding of what happens in living organisms, which is so complex. These series-dependent chemical reactions, these cascade reactions that are so complicated, these lock-and-key reactions. And then if we talk about evolution, the changing nature of organisms over time, you can't do it by getting there accidentally through slight successive changes. You have to have an intelligence at work.
Wasn't that Darwin's perspective, that it was some kind of random selection, maybe a little bit of oops, an accident, and oh, you get to survive. Oops, how did that happen? Well, the arguments now we hear about intelligent design. They're all different machinations of the dictionary to try and explain what we're trying to go to here with science as our alibi now.
Darwin said life happened because of slight, successive, but totally unintentional, totally unintelligent, totally accidental reasons. Oops, whoops,
yeah.
Now you're a bird. Whoops, now you're a walrus. Whoops, now you're a dinosaur. Well, the more biology has progressed, the better our tools for looking into the cells have become, the more we've realized that is a kind of a science fiction of its own. It's a fairy tale. Researchers now, like James Shapiro, call genetic material in cells natural genetic engineers. He calls enzymes natural genetic engineers, which can do engineering feats which people in labs can't do. And there's an intelligence in our cells, in our bodies, that can do far more than we can. So how can we call it dumb and pointless? Well, what Sheldrake was getting to, and he talked about this idea of, you can't just transmit this like a piece of paper handed from person to person. No. This is a field theory. He called it morphogenetic fields.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I don't know how they work. I don't know where they come from. But if you look at organisms over time, it's as though they were living inside of a containing field that was generated somehow. He didn't say he knew all the answers, but he said, if we look into this field thing, we're going to find that organisms align with fields, not just with little bits of information like genes, like a guy handing a piece of paper to somebody else and then making a mistake along the way, and that somehow turns an ostrich into a newt or a newt into a whale.
Yes.
He's looking at field theory. Now, what this Science Daily article says is, yes, we are electromagnetic organisms. And the implications for this are staggering. The idea that we put up microwaves, which is what cell phones are, to our heads, that we cook things in electromagnetic fields that damage our food. The idea that we strip mine all the varied nutrients out of the stuff that we eat and then expect our bodies to work in this field as a field generating system.
Right.
All of this needs to come into question now. This is a new science. I think that it'll be called electrobiology. It is the most exciting bit of science news I've heard, I don't know since when, my whole life.
Yeah, I'm very excited as well. As I said, I've been working with energy medicine for many years, understanding the field somewhat intuitively and through practical application and seeing it work. But I'm always excited when we have legitimate science coming out and revealing these things and observing and saying, wow, look what we have discovered. Now, this has got to be sending shockwaves, unless they're trying to bury it. But coming out of Tufts, by the way, we also have the link to Rupert Sheldrake, sheldrake.org up on the show notes. And if you haven't filled out your little email address in naturalnewsradio.com, where you're listening to the show. That would be helpful because in that way you can get your updates into your inbox every day with the Robert Scott Bell Show, where we're going, what we're talking about. In addition, going to robertscottbell.com with all the links in today's show notes as well. But if we talk about this revelation, I mean, it's actually published in peer-reviewed science. I mean, what are they going to do with this? There's a lot of forces allied against this kind of revelation because it literally, what would you say, what causes a lot of the sciences that are considered sciences today to have to crumble because their theories are bunk.
Yeah, where does reductionist genetics go with this? In a related study, also done at Tufts, this was published in February of this year. Maybe it's the same group. Listen to this. Biologists were able to control the shape of tissue regenerated by amputated flatworm segments by manipulating what? The genes? No. The natural electrical signals that determine head-tail identity in the worms. They're going to find this through every species. They're going to find this, of course, in human beings. What are we going to? How are we going to find that really bad toxins, really toxic chemicals, interfere with the electromagnetic conduit, the currents in our body?
Yeah.
This is an entirely new way to look at the species. And what does it relate to? It relates to the way the universe works. We talked about this on one show, but space, outer space, just like our inner space, is electromagnetic. Now, NASA, which takes your tax money to build rocket ships that go to bring snack food to an orbiting thing up in space so people can do experiments. And
was that a sort of a Tang joke going back to
Hey, you know, I'm all for the exploration of space, but you have to know what you're looking at before you can – you kind of have to have the right model. You know, if I'm an alien and I come to Earth and I say I'm going to study – all of the dogs, and dogs are things with two legs that stand straight up, you're on the wrong place. No, those are humans, right? So you have to name space correctly. Now, NASA has been naming space as a totally gravity-driven, I'm going to use the word space, since Isaac Newton.
Right.
They say that gravity is the only force working out there. Well, they're wrong. What's the force? Hey, what's the force working in our cells that makes us form?
Mm-hmm.
Ready, everybody? Say it with me. Electromagnetism.
Yeah. Well, and it's stunning, too. You could get into really some high-end Tesla things and going back even further than that with some of the scientists that posited some things that were so far out. How did things happen in ancient Egypt? A lot of the mysteries of the things they built with technology that was so precise that we couldn't hardly duplicate it here now in the 21st century, as it's called. So there are a lot of things that now have to be called in, not only into question because we have been for a long time, but now the so-called mainstream, if there is one, of science now has to self-reflect and go, well, what the hell have we been doing? Will the economics support this leap into what Tufts has revealed? And also, you know, it validates a lot of the work of Dr. Robert Becker with his, you know, the body electric. He talked about this electrical field. He talked about utilizing different things, including silver, in stimulating growth, if you will, or even these so-called stem cells. What are these stem cells now? How is it organized? Where is the intelligence? These are the questions we're not only asking, but we're actually answering today on the Robert Scott Bell Show this hour. Special guest, Liam Sheff, liamsheff.com. We have his article linked up too, How Life Happens, How Life Came to Be, as well as some other things that we're going to be covering in this hour, literally. Altering the nature of the universe? No! Altering the way we might look at the nature of the universe and accept that which so many of us have been talking about for so many years and writing about as well here. And also having a little fun telling the so-called quackbuster skeptics to suck it. So that's all right. We can have fun doing this as well. The Robert Scott Bell Show rocks on for help, freedom, and liberty. Remember, robertscottbell.com. If you'd like to be a part of the show, it's 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. Coming right back with more powerful healing and transformation, and who knows where else. I'm going to beam across, and we'll be right back after this commercial break. Stay with us.
Why do you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show?
Bravery and integrity is amazing, and it's much needed.
I love, love, love your show.
I love the show, like all the things that you're doing with Mike Adams and all the writers at Natural News.
To be quite frank with you, I think the show is the biggest breath of fresh air we've found.
Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. ChooseToBeHealthy.com features the Rolls-Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. Counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.
Scott Bell Show.
You know, I never liked the idea that life was just a random walk or a random event. The feeling that I could just be a pinball in a pinball machine and somebody else is pulling the plunger and the bonkers and I'm just going back and forth. And of course, a lot of my early life, Liam, I felt that way, even though I felt it was wrong, partly because I had given to the experts an expertise that they didn't have regarding my own health, my physiology, the ailments that I suffered with. And this was a prime motivating force for me to learn about the order or the principles of the laws of the universe. One day when I woke up and realized that these people, these so-called experts, didn't really know what they were talking about, then I could open up and say, okay, what is the real deal here? Where do we go from here? And then we move into this electromagnetic theory of the universe, of creation, of everything. And I kind of come back to Douglas Adams. I can't help it. What's the question? You know, the answer to life, universe, and everything. And we get to the historical evolutionary perspectives. What are these theories that have been abounding for years? And who defends it? Who's an apologist for it? And who gains or who loses by these changes that we're talking about here, Liam?
The reason I consider this, I'm right there with you, by the way. I remember growing up and struggling with this as a concept. I remember somewhere early in my teens, for a brief dark moment, I flirted with accepting the life is meaningless, the universe is an accident and a petri dish or some such thing. You say it out loud and you get some clap on the back by the experts, and they say, well, you agree with us now. You're one of us.
You're back in the fold.
Yeah, you're back in the fold. And then it makes no sense. And it feels so dead, and it makes you feel so dead, and it's just so silly. There's this idea that people have held for a long time that we're all connected. Well, we know we're all connected. You know that when you care about people, you can more or less read their thoughts. You know that when you're in a room with somebody and they're having an emotional moment and you're open and tuned in, you can know a lot of what's happening with them before they tell you. You know that when my grandmother died, I hadn't seen her for years. I don't tell stories like this. So I turned to my best friend, Helen, and I said, I think my grandmother probably died. And you know, we were close when I was young. Well, I didn't go and run out and find it because my family's pretty estranged. Well, a number of years later, I wrote somebody in my family and I said, she's gone, isn't she? And she said, yeah, she died 2 years ago. I said, well, that's when I said she died. Okay. Now the skeptics come along and say, well, she was old. She could have died any day. All right. Why did I stand up and say it to my best friend at that moment? We're connected to the people that we love. We transfer information along electromagnetic currents. Now, the sciences are now saying exactly that information. And I mean complex biochemical information that goes to morphology. The formation of flesh and blood in animals is sent on ion currents or electromagnetic currents. Evolutionary theory, to get to your question, came about as a reaction to sort of Christian or Catholic, rather fundamentalist idea that everything was created as it is now, was unchanging, and that's that. Don't have to ask any questions. And some people came along and said, no, we found fossils and life seems to change over time. How does life change became the question. A guy called Charles Darwin was not the first. He actually had a grandfather, Erasmus Darwin, who was involved in it too. He had competition in the field, Jean-Baptiste de Lamarck, who said, you know, life interacts with the environment and there are energetic interactions with the environment. And Darwin said, life changes. He doesn't say why life came to be. So his book, The Origin of the Species, is more or less a dishonest title. life just is, and it changes radically because of successive, accidental, and slight variation within the species. He considered the variation to be natural. In other words, life changes because it has a natural tendency to change. This is not even worth high school. This is not even a sixth grade treatise. I mean, life changes because it has a natural tendency to change.
Yeah, what is that really saying? I mean, it's just like, okay, lovely. You know, a nice warm spring shower, lovely. But what are we going to get out of that at that point?
It's been criticized correctly as a tautology, a circular argument, a self-defining term. So then other terms were brought in like, survival of the fittest. Now this has been taken apart appropriately. What does that mean? To be fit is to what? Survive? To be survive is to be fit? Is the little 2-centimeter red seahorse fit? No, it just, how does it metamorphose into exactly that niche where it's purposefully and perfectly replicating the coral that it lives in. Mm-hmm. How do we survive? We're a mess. Human beings are a mess. I mean, do peacocks survive because their giant tail makes them fast? No, there's no real sense to it. Life is rather grand, rather mysterious, and rather playful and creative. There's no other way to describe it.
Except for mosquitoes. I don't like them.
There's a summer joke for you. It is hot.
Yes.
So Darwin's argument was picked up by guys like T.H. Huxley in the family of Aldous Huxley, of course, who wrote Brave New World, but from a different point of view, and Ernst Mayr, who was sort of one of the great grandfathers of the new synthesis, and they brought in this Mendelian idea of genetics, and they said, well, they're genes, and they are the things that accidentally shift slightly and successively. This has been a total failure. No one has – it's been disproven that accidental slight genetic shifting has made any new species or any new characteristics except cancer and death.
Sure.
I mean, that's what you get.
But Liam, who gains by the – let's say the mystery of the universe remaining the mystery of the universe in the sense that if you're just it's a random act, right? There's no control. I mean, I could argue that, okay, if we claim that cancer is all in your genes and if you have bad genes, you're screwed, then I could probably talk you into removing your breast because you have breast cancer genes and your grandmother had it and your sister had it, right? Perhaps there's a motivation factor from an economic standpoint, but it's more than that. I think there's a cruelty involved in that and taking advantage of people. You know, the brutality of modern medicine in convincing us that, oh, well, it doesn't matter what you do. At the same time, they pay lip service to, oh, you should eat better, never defining that, because eat better for them could mean buying more Monsanto genetically modified organisms because they'll benefit economically again there. So what other aspects of the, you know, who are the defenders of this, old school thought, which is not based in scientific reality, but based on control of the global population?
God, that's really well said. That's a great question. I mean, it's absolutely Stalinist in its ordering. It's atheistic. It rejects any kind of spiritual creative influence. It rejects any kind of actual community, and it forces upon people a consensus agreement of worshipfulness of an authority. The authority is, of course, the men in the white lab coats who can manipulate the material that they say is responsible for all life. In other words, they're popes. You know, we used to call the Pope the vicar of Jesus Christ on earth. In other words, he was sort of the lawyer or the mouthpiece for God. You know, I mean, all of Catholic stuff is sort of fun because it's all legalistic and so strange. The language is so strange. And people kind of bought into that. Okay, you'll be the mouthpiece for the thing that we can only pray to, but you're more important than we are. Oh, God, thou who art so very big, and we who are so very small. Now we say, oh, scientists.
Yes, well, it's a replacement. That's why I think that it's so important to understand this, that unquestioning, let's say, allegiance to authority, whether it be in the old church, so to speak, and we've seen that throughout history, or whether it be now in the so-called field of science, which became just another religious cult, we find that the humanity seems to like to be in that place where they can worship authority, follow authority blindly, just be told what to do. And I don't know how that fits into the electrical or electromagnetic universe, but certainly the freedom and the free will aspect of this is very exciting to me, because that means the very creation in which we live, we take part in creating through our own imagination. We have the ability to impact matter by what we believe, coming back to perhaps what I've covered over the years with Bruce Lipton, the cellular biologist, and what he's found out about, you know, field morphology and expression, gene expression, and what controls what.
Well, we certainly have the ability to impact our own lives by what we put into ourselves to power our electromagnetic chemical cascading machine, this thing that dreams and thinks and has a life process that we will never understand. You know, I think the ancient tribal people had a better understanding of the life process and the mysteries involved. At least they understood that there were mysteries, and they respected them. Now we bundle ourselves into predefined youth, adolescence, 20s, middle age, and I don't know, AARP or whatever we're supposed to be at the end. We don't participate in very much of what really is the human experience. I mean, we do in our own lives, but we code it with slogans and logos and brand names. This electrical universe idea, which is what the science is now validating in the actual creation of life, of new life from the embryonic stage, means, though, that we are shot through, all of us, probably with all of the information of the universe that we care to access if we let ourselves tune in. So all the yogis now get validated. You can sit and meditate on an idea and maybe it will come to you. Not because it's in your head. Mm. Wow, brain science just took a punch in the gut too. It's not in what's in your head. Maybe your head is a receiver. Maybe it's a transceiver. I suspect that is so.
Hey, we got a little bit of Indiana Jones coming in, through you there, Liam. We got the Ark of the Covenant in our head, the great transducer and receiver. I like it.
We don't come up with ideas. We're just little tiny things. We didn't invent the ideas of the universe.
We didn't really invent the
iPod or the computer. We just remake it.
Hmm. I think in terms of process of discovery, we may happen upon something and then we try to maybe understand what it is, how it works, or what do we do with it. But it's sort of like visiting a museum, you know, whether it be on some other plane or planet, and you go, wow, look at that. Let's reverse engineer that down here. See what we make of it. I mean, we talk in terms of Tesla or the sleeping prophet. What was he? Edgar Cayce. And, you know, they talk about getting things through the dream state. I mean, these are realities that have affected matter and have affected all of humanity by some of these inventions that have come to be, not because they was intense, let's say, thought. Think, like Pooh. Think, like Winnie the Pooh, I should say. But in terms of, moving forward in discovery. Oh, my gosh, there it is. Let me put it this way. Whoop, there it is.
Whoops. A couple of great ideas. Here's a joke. Keith Richards often says he wakes from that sleep of the dead, which he apparently has perfected, so staying alive despite And with the guitar lick in his head. So some of the most famous songs in 60s, 70s rock and roll are because Keith Richards took naps. So you can't say the dream state is not a receptive place. Of course it is. There are many people. Carl Jung, of course, studied the dream state, and all psychology validates and values the archetypical material of the dream state. But I don't know, getting beyond that and jump into the electrical universe, if you look at the universe the way we're looking at the organism, and I am not going to let anybody off the hook anymore with this stuff. I mean, I wrote this thing a little tongue-in-cheek, but I meant it, How Life Came to Be, My Rough Draft. I mean, what am I supposed to say exactly how it came to be? Of course it's a rough draft. I'm just one guy on the planet. The idea is, though, that because we live in this electromagnetic field and electromagnetic fields form cellular structures in space, it makes sense that they're going to form cellular structures on Earth. They're going to be repeating patterns, but there's a repeated, a drive towards capitulation and recapitulation. In other words, a drive towards creativity using repeated forms. Now, anybody who's ever taken a walk in the woods know what a branching tree looks like. And no matter what country you're in, branching tree branches and plant branchings look similar. They're varied, but they always follow similar fractal patterns. So do root systems. So do the arteries and veins in our body. So do the skin cells in our body. There are circular systems that form vortexes. This is another repeating
system. We can make
system.
Up words here. We're creative. Vortexinal.
Vortexinal, okay. we coined it. We'll take it. You can put 2 cents
this
in
is,
the...
You know, Liam, if I don't create at least one new word a week, I don't feel like I'm fulfilled. So how can we answer the question about life, the universe, and everything? Well, it starts with a tadpole and moves into a frog face. This is what stimulates our discussion today on the Robert Scott Bell Show with my dear friend Liam Sheff from liamsheff.com. We've got to take a quick break here. We'll get more into these electromagnetic morphological fields and talk about the basic order and laws of the universe. In one short hour, we're going to change the world. Why not? Let's do it. After this, more coming back on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Hold that shrimp on the barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only 5-element saliva test in the world used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones in any HRT? Don't wait. Get my 5-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us, 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. Or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
Got a question for Robert? Call now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
72% of America is obese or overweight. Heart disease, cancer, and diabetes are at all-time highs. America is sick, fat, and confused. Hi, I'm Kevin Brown, author of The Liberation Diet. I'd like to personally invite you to join me for a 4-week intensive course called Liberation Wellness for Life. In this course, you'll learn the truth about how to use real food to lose weight without sacrificing good taste or nutrition. Come on. Summer's just around the corner. You can lose weight with real foods. Think it can't be done? Listen to a few satisfied customers.
I would absolutely recommend Kevin's program to people who are serious about their own success, serious about their own good health, and serious about improving the quality of their life.
Join me for this very special online event. Go to liberationwellness.com and click the online class link. Mention Natural News Radio and receive a $20 discount. That's liberationwellness.com.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Robert Bryan.
He is tenacious, isn't he?
Scott.
He's a brave and a decent man. He's a pioneer.
Bell. This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Scott Bell Show.
So, if we live in an electromagnetic universe, does that mean the world is flying apart? Is flying apart at the seams? What are we waking up to here, Liam? I mean, should we be frightened? Should we be excited and ecstatic? I mean, I think obviously a lot of eggheads in the universities might be frightened by this information, but I tend to embrace it. You sound excited to learn about it and have it be revealed, that which you've been studying for many years.
It is so exciting. And, I'm a rather latecomer to it. There have been guys like Hans Alfvén, the Nobel Prize-winning physicist, and Christian Birkeland, who discovered the aurora borealis and said this is an electromagnetic phenomenon, while his peers said, no, it's just lights. And this guy said, no, this is electricity hitting the planet. This is what we are. We're an electromagnetic charged body going through space. This changes the way we look at meteorology. Weather phenomena like lightning, which are now pawned off on some totally unexplained interaction of water or ice rubbing against ice in clouds to create megawatt lightning. Really? No. Lightning is the electrical charge from one charged body into an area of differential charge. Outer space is charged. The planet has a charge. It equalizes from planet to ground, from ground to sky and sky to ground. That's what lightning is. Mainstream meteorology will tell you that they really don't have an explanation for lightning, but it must be ice particles rubbing together. Of course not. This is electricity given off like a static charge from your body to the door handle when your charge is different than that of the room.
Have you ever tried this? I mean, at home you can do this. Rub two pieces of ice together, you know, really fast. You can start a fire. You ever done that?
Well, that would be the idea. We abandon these ideas. We start to look at tornadoes and as electrical discharge, as strong vortex.
A vortexinal. Yes. We got another way to use our new word. It's vortexinal. It's Somebody's already said tornadical.
Yeah, we look at this as a strong electromagnetic rotating helical discharge, which is something you can predict in the electromagnetic universe. Not just a little bit of cool air hitting a little bit of warm air. So you begin to look at major weather phenomena, hurricanes, all weather as electromagnetic. You look at the Earth's interaction with the sun. The most important thing in our universe is this. It is an electromagnetic charged plasma body that is receiving electrical current where? From the outside. That's why it's hotter where? At 10,000 kilometers away from the
sun. Hold on, repeat that, because this is stunning, because most people would assume that it's hotter at the core, and of course it would have to come down in temperature as you remove, you know, further and further away, just like a, you know, normal flame. The further away you are from it, the cooler it is. So you're telling me that the sun, based on this electromagnetic understanding, is receiving its energy from external sources, showing that it's hotter at the surface.
I'll posit that along with the guys who invented it as a hypothesis or a theory. But if you look at the reality is that the sun is hottest about 10,000 kilometers from the surface of the sun. It is coolest where? Beneath the surface in the sunspots where the surface is peeled back a little. The sun seems to be receiving current through massive galaxial electromagnetic currents. It is millions of degrees, up to 10 million degrees, at a good distance away. It cools down to about 5,000 degrees on the surface, 5,000, 6,000 degrees. That's some difference. How do you get there? You get there because it's electromagnetically powered from the outside. And once we – the idea of a nuclear explosion in space haphazardly holding together, you know, accumulated through gravity, pulling dust together, I guarantee you can – I want you to take all that ice you were rubbing together to start a fire.
Yes.
And compact it with something as weak as gravity, which you can break by lifting a cup off your desk. And I want you to start a nuclear explosion with it that lasts for billions of years. You can't do it. These are electromagnetic anodes in space. They're collecting electromagnetic current. And when you understand, you can look into that. Go to thunderbolts.info and read about the electrical universe. It's testable. It's reproducible in the lab. It fits what we observe. You just have to allow electrical engineering into astronomy. And right now, NASA doesn't do so.
Well, when you look at that, and of course, the end of an era of some people are lamenting because the space shuttle is retired, that we're out of the space business, so to speak. I don't know that it's for lack of imagination or wanting to try, but then there's another electromagnetic reality is economics, how that fits into this. And you'd think that these so-called perpetual energy machines that have been discounted for years would have been discovered by the Federal Reserve, the way Ben Bernanke prints money out of thin air. How does that fit into the electromagnetic universe, or does it?
Well, the suppression of innovation in the sciences is as real as daylight and nighttime. It is absolutely real that these ruling cabals of the priests of scientism will step on anybody who challenges their hegemony, and that goes maybe double and triple for the oil cabals. So if there is a way to produce energy better, more cheaply, and more efficiently, and nobody's ever, by the way, demonstrated to me a Tesla machine that I saw working, but I do believe in solar energy. I do believe in wind energy. I believe in the production of electricity by the understanding of the electromagnetic phenomena. We don't study that as a way to really produce energy on the planet. We still boil water using dangerous nuclear fissionable material and just to turn a wheel. We can turn a wheel with the wind, but we do it with dangerous nuclear material. That benefits the weapons manufacturers and the police state. That's all it benefits. So this is amazing. I mean, this story is really at this top of this paradigm shift. Pull people in. Tell them to read about the electrical universe. Tell them not to put their cell phones next to their heads, by the way. You know, you're putting an electromagnetic pulse through your brain. There are reasons why people say it's not good for you. It's because their common sense is speaking to them.
And it's amazing to me how a tadpole to a frog face has stimulated such revelations and review of the existence of the universe altogether. And the only thing better would have been if it were the face of a wombat. That somehow would have played maybe a little better in certain circles. I don't know. But
it works for wombats, too.
Yes, exactly. We're not going to exclude them. But this is an astonishing discussion today, Liam, especially, you know, we talk about the skeptics. All they do is throw pharmaceutical water over everything because, yeah, heck, if you drink a big vat of pharmaceutical drugs, it'll kill you. That's evidence that they work. If you drink a big vat of homeopathic medicine, you don't die, so that's evidence that they don't work.
And if you drink a big gulp of soda every day, they'll have to study you for their project in the obesity epidemic, which is, I'm sure, controlled by genes accidentally shifting.
Yes. Gene expression, another fascinating thing. Now, you mentioned the issue of the weather. I found that fascinating as well. It could explain the discussion that's seemingly somewhat controversial about the high-altitude auroral research project up in Alaska. They call it the HARP, and all the claims that they've affected weather by utilizing electromagnetic, you know, radiation into the ionosphere, etc., and how it's altered not only the atmosphere above us, but how it may have contributed to changes in the physicality of the Earth that we stand upon.
Yeah, controversial. I've looked into it. I HARP seems to me to be an open source, open data project, which involves the release of strong currents into the atmosphere. But we get stronger currents released into the atmosphere by lightning 1,000 times a day. I worry about the idea that, you know, supermen are with secret weapons are controlling our destinies. Because usually they're not that smart. It's like the AIDS thing, right?
Yeah.
People say there's a virus that targets gay people and black people. No, there's a test that we use to target gay people and black people. It's called the HIV test, and it comes up positive for everything. So, you know, what is HARP? You have to go – I'll continue to go and read about it. But we release lightning. The planet discharges strong currents into the atmosphere all the time. I don't know enough about HARP. I don't know enough about what it could possibly do. I think we're at the beginning of studying the electromagnetic phenomena. If, you know, I wouldn't say that it would be unwise to be careful in shooting strong electromagnetic charges into the atmosphere. But then again, it happens thousands of times a day at greater levels than we can produce here on Earth. That tells me that mad scientists probably cannot direct earthquakes at either Trinidad or New Zealand, but that we, you know, there's just the beginning of what we really don't know.
Well, Liam, is important to relate, and that is we ascribe superpowers to men who are arrogant, likely, sometimes megalomaniacs and other things, but that they may not likely have the power ascribed to them, that it is the belief that they do is as damaging or perhaps more damaging, as we've discussed many times over the years here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, the case of AIDS as it has been constructed, that we are to believe this retrovirus, which we've talked about so many times, could cause all of this, you know, madness that a supervillain in the Austin Powers series or the James Bond series couldn't have done. And yet that fear alone was enough to create the reality of the death, mayhem, and destruction of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of people worldwide by just believing it and then adopting the treatments for the phantom retrovirus.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the mad scientist control the world model. They usually just have to control the information or put forward an idea from authority. When they wanted to sell the world on the bird flu, they just had to say the bird flu is coming, and everybody said the bird flu is coming. It's not, you know, you don't have to invent a bird flu virus. You just take sick people in Vietnam and you say,
it's much more efficient, in fact, and much less expensive and much more, as we call it, creative, maybe diabolical, but creative as well, that the actual belief is as powerful, as I say before, or more powerful than actually having a virological cataclysm caused by an actual virus. And this, you know, this comes back. I mentioned Bruce Lipton as well before, the power of belief, the biology of belief as such. It causes genes to express literally differently based on our belief about the world around us and our experience.
We can certainly make ourselves sick by what we eat. We can certainly drive ourselves into panic states by what we think. The only antidote for thinking things that aren't true is doing really, really heavy research and being keeping an open mind and being willing to be critical and appraising information slowly over time, not jumping to conclusions. I didn't jump into the conclusion that Darwin was wrong overnight. I took time. I read Darwin. I found it to be, you know, sort of sixth grade level stuff, despite what I'd been told my whole life, how brilliant he was. He's rather foolish and pedantic. I couldn't believe what I was reading most of the time. And I said, well, this isn't everything it was chalked up to be, so what did the critics say? And I read the critics. And then I got into this electric universe stuff, and I thought, now that makes sense, because electricity is all around us, and that's how it works. I can't answer what HARP is. I'll do more research into it. Again, their data is, you know, published openly. You can read their data and how strong the currents are that they send up. And I think the question is, do we really know how the Earth works so well that we can say that some guy's shooting a little spark into the sky can create very, very specific cataclysmic earthquakes? Or are there more questions there? Do we really not know what planets are? Are planets, I mean, in the electromagnetic model, planets erupt as mass ejections from stars. They're not accidentally.
Yeah, that's a fascinating thing, the birthing of planets as opposed to the so-called Big Bang. Listen, we got to take a break here. We've got one more segment today with Liam Sheff, my dear friend, and we've got these stories linked up at liamsheff.com. Really tackling life, the order of the universe, etc. It's just mild stuff here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. No worries. Relax. We got to have a little ride. We're going to put it all together and say, what do we now do with this information next, right here on the Robert Scott Bell Show with Liam Sheff.
Giving the pharmaceutical industry cardiac arrest.
Clear.
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hi, this is the Health Ranger here inviting you to check out the Natural News Store. Yes, we have an amazing store offering superfoods and other healthy food items, including kitchen appliances like Vitamix blenders and food dehydrators, nut milk bags, lots of things for anyone who's interested in leading a healthier lifestyle. And here's another cool part about it. Because we have such a huge reach, millions of people a month that we're reaching who follow Natural News, we're able to get huge discounts on some really high-end superfoods and nutritional products. We offer those at ridiculously good prices on our specials page. You can find that right now at store.naturalnews.com. Just go to store.naturalnews.com and you'll see the current specials link on the left-hand column right at the top there. Click on that. You can check out the current specials. We've got superfoods at prices that are often 40 or 50% off. Check it all out at store.naturalnews.com.
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Whether we know it or not, we've been taught in school that planets are basically dust bunnies that just appear from under the couch of creation. They collect together. A lot of dust. This gravity's pulling the dust in. Look at it. So much dust. Wow, you got Mars. You got Venus. You got Jupiter. Wow, there's a lot of dust on Jupiter. And yet, here we go with an electromagnetic perspective on the electromagnetic and maybe electrochemical universe. I mean, we got to say there's manifestation into physicality as well. Liam Sheff wraps it up as what this all means. And before we get to that, where do planets come from, Liam?
The current model of planets and stars originates from the 18th century in the mind of, among other people, Immanuel Kant, the kindly and strange philosopher from Königsberg, Prussia. Really, that's how old the theory is. He did a thought experiment and said, well, if Newton's gravity is right, then gas accumulates and clumps together and somehow separates, and one becomes a star, and one clump becomes a planet here, and one clump becomes a planet there. Now,
that's a bit embarrassing that we're still operating under that the dust accumulation theory.
Yeah, the dust bunny theory of planets, and that's really where we live. And if you look up NASA and science today, what they think, they'll tell you it's exactly that. And they draw pictures and make computer animations to convince you that dust can become molten rock, which can become planets, which could, if it gets big enough, somehow
become dinosaurs. You can have big dust bunny dinosaurs. You can have big dust bunny dinosaurs.
Well, they go from townships to dinosaurs to everything else. Yes, all of life comes about through random chance and accident. Now, the electrical model posits something different. The electrical model says that stars, which are powered from the outside, much hotter, a distance from the star, have a strong electrical charge. When the electrical charge is overwhelming for the body. Has to eject some material, or underwhelming or overwhelming. It either has to accumulate more material and scavenge it, draw it in electromagnetically, or it has to eject material, which it does. So stars fission because they have too much of an electrical load, they have to fission to create two bodies with more surface area to bear the electrical load. Now, a way you could test this as at least an idea is, if you look through a telescope, how many stars are binary pairs? In other words, they're stars that have fissioned. Well, a great number of them are, a majority, which has surprised NASA, and they say, well, we didn't expect that so many stars would be binary. Now, you get a secondary model saying, where do planets come from? Instead of coming from accidental dust accumulation, you get a secondary fissioning. So planets are fissioned out of low-glow stars to balance electrical load. Planets are no longer accidental accumulations of material. Now, this model comes through a number of people. It comes through Ralph Jurgens, who really originated the electrical sun model, and Wall Thornhill of Holoscience, H-O-L-O, holoscience.com. Really my favorite researcher working today probably in any field is Wall Thornhill, who presents this idea, makes an argument for it, and then you can test it, at least through observationally, and look at low-glow stars like what they call red Jupiters or gas giants like Jupiter and Saturn, which glow when they're away from stronger stars. Well, that should tell you something. That gas giants glow, it means they're receiving more electrical current. They're not fighting with
the
major
stars. Where is that glow coming from? It's not just, hey, somebody's up there painting it. Immanuel Kant, back from the grave. I'm going to paint that planet while you're looking at it. But this also reminds me of the visuals of, you know, we talk about the neutrons, protons, electrons, we talk about the orbits around, the movement by electricity, the anion, the cation, all of these things that are understood, at least to some degree, and certainly many of the forward-thinking scientists, and I go back to Body Electric again and other things that have identified this and then utilized it for good purpose, whether it be medicinally or otherwise.
Yes, the minor replicates the major, the outside replicates the inside. It's fractaline, right? The tiniest really just a mirror image of the macroscopic, and so we can understand the universe as a whole connected thing, and that's why this story is so exciting. This story of the electromagnetic creation of morphology or of shaping of an embryo, not just accidental genetic shifting, not just unknown genetic mechanisms, but something wholly and entirely different. And I want to give great plaudits and congratulations and thanks to these researchers at Tufts who dared, I think, get outside of, I don't know, that genetic cul-de-sac, that dead end that really isn't going anywhere. And they said, we're going to look. Here are the people, right? In this study, Laura Vandenberg, Ryan Morey, Danny Spencer. These are fascinating new studies. I love these guys. I'm going to try to get in touch with some of them and get them to come on various shows because this is groundbreaking.
It really is. And, you know, we'd say it's detrimental perhaps to the old ways, the chained down prison type science that has been existed in so much of the last few hundred years, if you will. Maybe we could be argued longer, but really opens up a whole new realm of reality. And these so-called skeptics are going to have to find a new line of work.
Well, there are a lot of jobs to be done behind the elephants in the circus, and maybe they'll enjoy themselves there.
They've been shoveling that for a long time. Why not? They're good at it.
They're good at it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Liam, this has been an exciting hour here that really is it's transformative. I think I'm going to have to re-listen to it a number of times. I know many in the audience will do so as well. If you want to learn more, go to liamscheff.com. I have all of the links as well up at robertscottbell.com in the notes today, including to some of the authors and scientists we've referenced, and want to get you out there, plug it in. And you know, the positive reality of all of this is that you become, honestly, as what I say, a co-creator in your own universe. You're not a victim. You're not a pinball. It's not a random act. But you literally can send out these energies in the universe. And of course, we can talk about it in terms of spirituality. People, whatever religious beliefs they have, will find evidence for these things within those scriptures if you just look deep enough and understand what it's saying. The random act of the universe, you know, if you want to be a victim, this is not your show. This is the place where you come to be empowered, not only to think clearly and act clearly, maybe, I don't know if there's such a thing as behaving clearly, but certainly to heal. And that's what we try to do here, Liam. Thank you for helping to bring the power to heal back to where it belongs.
Robert, thanks for having such a fun and courageous show that we can talk about these things.
All right. Well, we'll continue to do so. We'll be following up on this story with Liam and many others in the coming weeks. You want to be with us for that. Remember, this is the show where it happens every day from noon to 2 Eastern, a new show at naturalnewsradio.com, robertscottbell.com, 866-939-BELL is the number to call. And I remind you as we wrap it up today, as I always do, that the power to heal is yours and Liam's too.
The Robert Scott
the
Bell
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Looking for the ultimate superfood? One that will give you lasting energy, improve your sense of well-being, and help you build lean muscle? One World Whey is the first ever unheated whey protein powder on the market. Virtually all other whey protein powders on the market are heated. This damages 15% or more of the proteins, making them unusable to the body. Fresh raw whey has been used for hundreds of years to alleviate many health problems. The life-giving properties in raw whey are now available in One World Whey. Whether you want to build immunity, strength, endurance, muscles, slow down aging, or just feel a lot better, One World Whey may be the perfect food for you. One World Whey is also an ideal emergency preparedness food. Simply mix with water and you'll have a delicious, life-giving protein food in vanilla, chocolate, or strawberry. For your free report on the benefits of unheated whey, call 888-988-3325 or visit OneWorldWhey.com. That's OneWorldWhey.com.